listen to last week's sermon if you weren't here. Rest, it became very important and took new shades of meaning to me as we looked at what God wanted us to look at. So I sought the Lord again this year for a word, which is my habit, to seek Him at the beginning of the year for a word for us to focus on as we go through. Now, over the years, we've had words like rest and peace and grace and joy. One of my favorites was hear and obey. It's more than one word to me, but God put it in a web address, so it became one word. He makes the rules. So I sought Him again this year, and I have words as I'm thinking, preparing for it. I think of things that that would be a good one for this year, or like lots of people could use that, or I'd like to see that happen. But I really try to hear just as clearly as I can and as purely as I can, just so it's a word from Him. And this year I heard a word, but it's a word that we've had before. And so I said, "Are you sure? Like, am I hearing you right?" And he said, "Yeah, yeah."
That's always good.
Yeah. And so our word for this year is hope. Hope. And the concept that I got from the Lord, just as I was seeking Him about it, was that many people have put their hope for many things that you're going through, and I'll go over that in just a minute. We just got short time, so I'll try and push it all together. But many people have lost hope for certain issues in their lives. People love God, they're serving God, they're working hard and doing the things that they know to do, but there are things in their lives, in your lives, in my life, that we kind of have put on the shelf and put away. And the Word says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And we've been looking at the heart and having the eyes of our heart opened again, like Adam and Eve had theirs closed. But we want the eyes of our hearts to be open again, not sick, not troubled. So the hope deferred, which deferred means put on a shelf, essentially, put away. I used to do taxes for a living. And when you defer taxes, you have taxes that are due in the year, and if you defer the taxes, you get to pay them sometime in the future. And pick it up at that point. You still have to pay them. It's still out there, but you're just not going to pay it this year. And lots of people, I think, have put, if I'm hearing from the Lord right, have put certain aspects of their lives, certain promises from the Lord that they felt that they had and held before God, but they put them away for a while. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing realized is the tree of life. Isn't that what we've been studying? The two trees in the garden, the tree of life. So a longing realized, it actually works. Uses the word desire. A desire realized is tree of life, and God gives you the desires of your heart. Does that mean that all of your wanton desires are met in this life, or does God place desires in your heart that He's going to meet? I think it's that. And so, a desire realized ties us into Jesus in a wonderful way. I think it's very exciting. let me just add a couple of scriptures I wanted to bring to you. Maybe I should. Christine sent me something this morning that I thought was very interesting. This is from Charles Spurgeon, and it's just a devotional that she gets sent to her. But Spurgeon said, "O child of suffering, be thou patient. God has not passed thee over in his providence. He who is the feeder of sparrows will also furnish you with what you need. Sit not down in despair. Hope on. Hope ever. Take up the arms of faith against the sea of trouble, and your opposition shall yet end your distresses. There is one who cares for you. His eye is fixed on you. His heart beats with pity for your woe, and his hand, omnipotent, shall yet bring you the needed help. The darkest cloud will scatter itself in showers of mercy." Isn't that a beautiful picture? "The darkest cloud shall shatter itself in showers of mercy. The blackest gloom shall give place to the morning. He, if thou art one of his family, will bind up thy wounds and heal thy broken heart. Doubt not this grace because of thy tribulation, but believe that he loveth thee as much in seasons of trouble as in times of happiness. What a serene and quiet life might you lead if you would leave providing to the Lord, the Lord of Providence." Leave providing to him. So the provision, what John was talking about at one point. "With a little oil in the cruse and a handful of meal in the barrel, Elijah outlived the famine, and you will do the same. If God cares for you, why need you care too? Can you trust him for your soul and not for your body? He has never refused to bear your burdens. He has never fainted under your weight. Come then, soul, have done with fretful care, and leave all thy concerns in the hand of the gracious Lord." Is that a good word? Spurgeon has a way with words. They called him the Prince of Preachers, you know. And he lived in London over 100 years ago and did a wonderful job. Trevor, I didn't acknowledge that you're here. I'm sorry. Hi, Trevor. Did you want to say anything?
No. Okay.
We're good? You doing good? Good man. I honor him. So hope is an optimistic state of mind that's based on an expectation of positive outcomes. This is a dictionary definition. An expectation of positive outcomes with respect to events and circumstances in one's life or the world at large. So hope, you hope that something's going to happen. And hope can be false, very false. You can hope with your soul, and it doesn't have the power of what Christian hope is. And I'll define Christian hope in just a minute. But many people, for example, in these days, hope that God knows their hearts because of the things that they're involved in. And I hear it, and I shudder. Well, God knows my heart. God knew Adam and Eve's hearts, and they had to leave the garden. There's consequences to the stuff we're doing. and that is New Testament as well as Old Testament. It's important that the hope you have is based and grounded in the Word of God and the promises of God. His word to us is what we need to hang on to, not a false hope, not something that we have cooked up in our own ideas. And I'm hoping that that's going to happen. I'm hoping that my new Cadillac Escalade is going to come in. You know, like, I haven't had a word from God. Are you first in line, Wes? Big guys like big cars. God hasn't said that to me. That's not a promise to me. But I'm, you know, hope is a funny thing. But Christian hope is a spirit-given virtue enabling us to joyfully expect things promised by God through Jesus Christ. Now, you catch that? What a difference. It's not just being optimistic. It's hanging on to a word from God. Christian hope is a spirit-given virtue enabling us to joyfully expect things promised by God through Jesus Christ. That's where we need to have our anchors set, in that kind of hope, a promise of God. There are over 7,000 promises of God in the Bible. I didn't count them all. I told Paula Marina there's 614 laws in the Bible, and that's what the pomegranate means in the temple, because a pomegranate is supposed to have 614 seeds. They gave me a pomegranate so I could count the seeds. I have not done that yet. I haven't had time yet. It was Christmas. I had five kids at home. So please don't have me go through the Bible looking for the 7,000 promises. If you feel so inclined, then you can look them up. 7,000 promises. There are things in there that you can put your hope in. Promises from God. And not only that, but we are revelatory people. We live by the rhema of God. Not just the logos. The logos is wonderful, but the rhema of God, the revelatory word of God. And so if you've had a prophetic word to you, put your hope in that as well. Now, many of those promises, many of those prophecies remain unyet fulfilled. When are they going to be fulfilled? I feel like God is saying, pick them up, dust them off, read them again, and hope. Let your hope be in those things. If he has given you a promise, if he has given you a word, believe that it's going to be. It's a spirit-given virtue to hope in such a thing. Hope deferred. Hope put on the shelf and say, well, that was a word and, you know, maybe it's never going to happen or whatever. God is a rewarder of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Taking those things out and reminding him of those is a faith-filled action. Whether you feel it is or not, it's full of faith to take it down and say, Lord, you promised me this. Just out of relationship, I'm looking to you for fulfillment of this thing. John and Deb were talking about words that they got from God and how God used those words to bring provision to them. It's powerful stuff. And what John said about planting a potato, a farmer is a man of faith and he is a man of hope. When he plants a potato, he expects a harvest, right? Like God does the miracle thing. Like, how does that happen? This thing grows and reproduces all on its own. The farmer has to figure out when is the best time to harvest it. But his hope is that he's going to have an abundant harvest. That's why he planted it. Have more than enough. And so his hope is tied to that rotten little potato that was put in the ground. And what is it that we should be putting into the ground? That we can tie our hope to. There is always an aspect of delayed gratification in this whole promise process and this hope process. It's not microwave faith. It's not something that comes right now and we get to, you know, my computer is not fast enough, so I want to order the best internet so that it's faster than it ever has been before. And I want my microwave to get my food done right away. And we've got an Instant Pot that cooks my food like three times as fast as anything else. And that's the way I want to live. Well, that's not the way God wants you to live. Because that would mess us up if we had it that way. He just knows us. There is a law of delayed gratification that when you put something in the ground, it takes a while before that thing actually fruits and grows and then brings its harvest. And it's in that time that you get to believe God for what's going to happen. Because so many things can happen to something that's growing. You know, blight and natural disasters and you know, like rain and snow and sleet and, you know, stuff to wreck your crops. You have hope that that is going to fruit, that that thing is going to be yours for the time that God has called it for. We need, I think, to pick up hope again. I wanted to, Paul in Philippians 1 verses 19 to 20 says, "For I know that through your prayers," he's speaking to the Philippians, "through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that the full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether in life or by death." Paul, as a prisoner, had hope that the words that he'd received from God would come through and come true. He's a prisoner of hope, as Swindoll called him, I think. Abraham said, this is said about him in Romans 4, verse 18. "In hope, he believed against hope." And I think that's a worldly hope as opposed to a godly hope. So in hope, he's a godly hope. "He believed against hope," so a worldly hope, "that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, 'So shall your offspring be,'" was the quote. "He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised." Abraham had hope and held on to that hope. What is the promise that God has made to you? Is it for healing? Is it provision? Divine health? Is it for your husband or wife to catch a glimpse of what Jesus' relationship is all about and to move in that? Is it for the saving grace for your kids or your family in some area? What is the promise that God has made to you that you need to pick up and believe again for, that you need to have hope for? Are you just getting along with some kind of a disease or something that won't leave, something that is a puzzlement to you, but, oh, I can live with it? Don't live with it. He's promised you health and wholeness. It was paid for on the cross. Pick it up again and believe him again. Don't say it's for somebody else. It's for you. His eye is on you. And this year he wants us to believe, to have hope again. We had the word before, but this is a different season. This is a different time. This is a different level of hope that we're looking for. It's not the same thing. We're not going to look at the same old sermons and away we go, you know. Like, all brand new. All God doing something wonderful. Amen. Hope consists in desiring God and his promises to do to us in Christ. We have a confident expectation of receiving what is promised because of where our hope lies. In God. When these elements are present, joy necessarily enters into our understanding of Christian hope, for we are excited by what awaits us. Joy joins the hope because there is something absolutely wonderful in what God is doing. So this year, our word is hope. Reese, you want to give us something to worship God with, and we'll respond to God in song, and then I'll come back and we'll pray together. So why don't we stand up together?